Mother, do not cry for me. All of this is exactly how it's supposed to be.
I'm right here. Can you hear my voice? My love, my Lord, my baby boy.
As they nail me to the tree, just know the Father waits for me.
God, how can this be your will to have your son and my son killed?
Whatever happens, whatever you see, whatever your eyes tell you has become of me. This is not, it's not the end. I am making all things new again. And as they nail me to the street, just know the Father waits for me.
God, how can this be your will to have your son and my son killed?
Whatever whatever you see,
I don't wanna think,
whatever your eyes tell you has become of me. This is not,
tell me it's not,
not the end,
not the end.
I am making all things new again. Whatever happens,
oh,
whatever you see,
oh,
whatever your eyes tell you has become of me, this is not,
no,
it's not the end. I am making all things new again.
I'd ask you to turn with me in your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew, the 28th chapter. We're going to look at verses 1 through 10. I remember it so well. The first time I heard the song that really is titled after the message, No, I'm Not Going to Sing, did that last week. It was called I've Just Seen Jesus. For those of you that are familiar with it, Larnell Harris and Sandy Patty. And they're pretty fair singers, if you know what I mean. Did a description of having seen the risen Lord. And the beauty of the words in it as they hit notes that only they can hit was, and I'll never be the same again. Well, as we look to the Gospel of Matthew, we have an announcement for us in the Gospel about the resurrection of Christ. Now, with that announcement and the physical revelation, we're going to read the announcement in just a moment, of over 500 witnesses. Some people say, well, how do we know Christ arose? Well, we know for a fact that there were over 500 witnesses to the resurrected Lord. And if you go into a court today with 500 witnesses on your side, there is no way that they're not going to rule in your favor. Now, if you will stand with me in honor of reading of the Word of God, I'm reading from the New American Standard. You may have a different one. We want to read Matthew 28, 1 through 10. Now, after the Sabbath, after Shabbat, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came and looked at the grave. And a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothes white as snow. The scripture says that the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. And the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He's not here. He has risen just as he said. Come see the place where he was lying, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he goes ahead of them into the city." May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. You may not think of it that way, but the resurrection of Jesus is the single most important event in human history. When we think of events that have touched our lifetime and touched other lifetimes, if we were to ask folks, they wouldn't say that. But I'll tell you, it is the single most important event in human history, because on that day, on that morning when the stone was rolled away, not so Jesus could get out, but so that the Marys and Peter and John could go in, it showed that God was true to his greatest promise. And that was that he could raise the sacrificial Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the single most important event, though a lot of people are really this day will pay it no attention. They may say Happy Easter or this or that. They have no idea what they're talking about. For you and I as believers, it brought about the opportunity for you and I to experience supernatural, life-changing blessings. And I don't know about you, when somebody says that I want to bless you, I'll receive it. Amen? Well, when God says he wants to bless me, I really like that. And I proudly proclaim that the single most important event of my life. Now, sitting down here on the second row near Kendra is the love of my earthly life. 35 years, God has blessed that woman with... Man, is she blessed. Amen? Well, I want to tell you, that's an important event in my life. It was May 22nd, 1985. And after I'd been through 24 hours of labor, my son was finally born. After Rose had been through 24 hours of labor, our son was born. That's a momentous event in my life. There have been some good historical events. There have been some bad ones. But I want to tell you, if somebody were to ask me what's the single most important event in history to you and in your life, I would tell you it is as a 9-year-old boy, having known in my head, it was accepting in my heart the resurrection and the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that day, though I didn't fully understand everything about it, my life changed. And my life began to be blessed in ways that you cannot imagine. And you have too. So this morning, I just want to take a few moments just to remind those of you that are believers of the supernatural benefits of the resurrection. Something that people that don't know Him don't get. But if you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, maybe you know about Him in your head. Maybe you've thought about Him and said, well, you know, I need to do this. I want to tell you that today is the day that you can move Jesus from your memory to your heart. And He'll change your life, and He'll begin to supernaturally bless you. I want to share with you 5 things that are benefits that remind every believer of the resurrection. Number one is that we can have confidence in God. Confidence in God. Throughout the Scriptures, if you study the Scriptures closely, God makes a lot of promises. There are promises throughout the whole Bible. But I want you to know that every one of those promises, promises to bless you, promises to protect you, promises to be with you, promises to restore you, every one of them is based on the fact that God fulfilled His promise when He sent His one sacrificial lamb to die in our place. And because of the resurrection of Christ, because of the 500 or more witnesses that saw the risen Lord, because of the fact that it changed the disciples, and folks, you and I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the resurrected Lord. That gives me confidence when God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He says, I'll never allow anything to touch your life. Now, let me tell you what He didn't say. He didn't say He'd never give you more than you can handle. For those of you that have been holding on to that, it's time to let go of that dumb statement. Because God will give you a whole lot more than you could ever handle. He's given me more in my life than I could ever handle. But I want to tell you this. He's never given me anything that we couldn't handle together. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, I have confidence in God. I have confidence that one of these days that the archangel is going to step out on the clouds of glory and there's going to be the shout of God and I'm going to be instantly translated and I'm going to go up to be with the Lord in the rapture. For those of you that don't believe in the rapture, or maybe you're mid-tribulation or post-tribulation, you may not even know what that means, you just don't believe in it, I'll wave to you as I'm leaving glory. Amen? I'm not saying, I got confidence in 2 things. One, the Lord Jesus Christ is either coming for all His believers or He's coming for me. Either way, I get to go. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, one of these days when you hear old Pastor Dana drew his last breath, I told my brothers and dad, who is 89 years old, we were planning his 90th birthday just the other day, and it's not even here yet. And I told him, I said, Daddy, I want to be like you. He said, what? I said, at your age, I want to still be kicking and be shot by a jealous husband and then just go on to glory. Amen? I told Rose the other day we were talking about things, and folks, I want to tell you why I'm so excited today. Not only is it Resurrection Sunday, 5 years ago tonight, God gave me my life back. I had a Widowmaker heart attack at 11:50 in the evening. They rushed me to Thomasville Hospital, and Thomasville Hospital is you know, some place people say it's a good place to die. As they were taking me there, I wasn't real happy about that. But they helped save me, got me to Forsyth Hospital and a wonderful doctor. And when I walked out of that hospital a few days later, I discovered something. I'd had a heart attack that should have killed me, but I have no permanent heart damage. But one of these days, it's going to stop. My mouth may keep moving, but my heart's going to stop. Amen? Well, when it does, I got confidence that I'm going to walk out of this world into the arms of the Lord. Amen? That's something that we, as people of the resurrection who believe in it, and the proof of it can hold on to. And I got confidence in God. He's coming for me. When the roll is called up yonder, I'm going to be there. Amen?
Amen?
All right. Second thing that I have as a supernatural benefit of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is forgiveness of all the things I've done wrong. You know, I haven't done many. Even heaven wouldn't say amen to that.
You know that the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ died and rose again. And when He died on that cross, He died to take away our sins, our wrongdoing. I've got forgiveness of my wrongdoing. Matthew 26, verse 26, if you'll just listen for a moment, it says, while they were eating, He said, at the Lord's Supper, He said, take and eat, this is my body. Then He took the cup, and He said, to drink of that. And in verse 28, He said, for this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Because the Lord Jesus Christ went to that cross, He died for my sin on that cross. He died for your sin on that cross. And you may hold things against me, and the Bible says you shouldn't do that. But I want you to know that in the eyes of God, I like this. I'm considered special. And I don't mean that other kind of special, Leslie and y'all over there, okay? I am considered clean, and you're considered clean. When God looks at me and I think, and sometimes, folks, I think back on things I've done, or maybe with Perry Tyler or some of y'all, things I'm planning to do, and I go, you know, Lord, I probably shouldn't do that. He says, go ahead, you're forgiven anyway. No, He doesn't say that. But He tells me I'm forgiven. You know, forgiveness is a wonderful, wonderful thing. God's forgiven you. And you can receive that forgiveness today. That is a benefit nobody else can give you. I want to tell you what. The Jews don't know forgiveness. The Muslims don't know forgiveness. The Hare Krishnas don't know forgiveness. The Moonies don't know forgiveness. But the people who believe in the resurrected Lord know forgiveness. And thank God I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven of everything I've done, and not that I should do it intentionally, everything I might do. I know that scares you, Tyler, but just hang in there, brother, okay? He's the one I'm picking on today, and I'm going for board next. All right. Third thing, I'm not afraid to die. One of the other supernatural blessings, the third one, is no fear of death. You go, you're not afraid of... No, I'm not afraid of dying. Now, I may fear the process of dying. I don't want to go slowly. And I've watched some people, like my beloved mother, go through the horrors of cancer. And I watched her, and many of you have been there, I watched her just waste away. And I want to tell you, it just broke my heart, and it's broken your heart. But I want to tell you something, that when my mother drew her last breath on Christmas Eve 1976, she woke up in glory. And there was a smile on her face when she left, and there was a smile on her face when she... Why? Because she was not afraid of what was coming. Are you afraid? People go, I tell people that at times. They go, how are you? I said, I'm good. I'm doing okay. And I've had some tough times. I won't tell you I made it to heaven. I don't think my heart attack went that far, but that was a near-death experience. My wife nearly killed me waiting for her to get ready so she could take me to the heart attack place. Okay. I'll tell you that story one day. Y'all need to ask Rose about brushing her teeth and fixing her hair, and I'm having a heart attack. Amen? You wonder why that woman's so pretty. Let me tell you, I don't fear death. John 11:21 tells us that we should not fear death. But you know what else I don't fear? In the wonderful book of Psalms, in the 46th to 56th Psalm, especially in the 56th, the psalmist talks about how wonderful God is, and he said, and what can man do to me? You know, sometimes we live in fear of our boss or in fear of our mom and daddy, and I know some of your mamas don't get really scared, amen? Grandmamas too, but you know, I don't fear what anybody... Somebody walk in here right now and shoot me, that'd be a bad thing. I wouldn't want it to happen, but if it did, you know, there's nothing man can do to me. The church could tell me they don't want me anymore. That might hurt my feelings a little, but there's nothing man can do to me. Why? Because of the confidence I have in God, in the no fear of death, and the fact that I'm forgiven. What's the worst that somebody could do to me? Take my life. All you're going to do is get me to glory sooner. Amen? Hey, we have that promise. That's one of the benefits of the supernatural benefits. The only death I will ever experience is physical death, which means I'm going to lay this old body down, or through the rapture, God's going to give me a new one. And I got news for you. In heaven, all of you people that are skinny, and this is me, not the Lord, are fat. And all of you that have a little bit of excess. We make Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie and the Victoria's Secret, whatever it is. They aren't angels, okay? We make them look ugly. I'm not being, listen, it says we get a new and glorified body. Amen? Well, that's hard to believe, because I never mind, I won't go any further. Folks, you're going to experience physical death. I want to lay this old thing down. I'm kind of getting tired of it. It sags and creaks and, you know, it is so hard to get a hairdresser to put gray in your hair. It is. They're not used to doing that. But boy, I don't fear death and I don't fear man. I respect and love God. And because of that, I have a supernatural blessing. I will give you the fourth one. And this is the one that ought to really get you. We have abundant life. The Lord Jesus Christ said that the devil, the enemy, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But He said, I came to give you life and to give you more abundantly. I know a lot of folks that are just living in this world and going, well, I'm just holding on till Jesus gets here. Folks, I'm not waiting for Jesus to get here. I'm going to live now. In fact, get ready. That's the way we ought to be living. Folks, death can't get me. Man can't get me. I'm forgiven. I've got the promise of eternity in glory. That ought to make a Baptist want to shout. Amen? Listen, a Quaker can get excited about that now. Amen? But He not only said that, He said, I'm going to give you, when Jesus said to give you abundant life, He didn't say you got to live your 70 or 80 years here in hell down here. He said, no, you can have it right now. I came that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. And not only do we have life, we got power. Jesus told His disciples in John 14, He said, I'm getting ready to go home to glory. He was heading toward the cross. He said, and it's good that I leave. And they were saying, He said, because the Father is going to send you a helper. And that helper is known as the Holy Spirit. And He said, the Holy Spirit's going to come and He's going to be with you. But He's not only going to be with you, He's going to be in you. See, if the church could ever catch the truth of that scripture and what it really means, we'd be different. The world wouldn't be beating us up, and we wouldn't be beating the world up. They would just march to our drum instead of the other way. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the power that created the world lives in you. Now, that's not for power for you to do how you want to. But that is the power for you to live abundantly. And if you will live in faithful obedience to Christ and you'll do the best you can, realizing that you messed up once in a while and that's not okay, but you're forgiven for it, you've got the power within you to live like nobody else lives. Listen, I have bad days. I've had heartache and sorrow. Rose is grieving. We're both grieving. I celebrate today because her daddy is celebrating his first Easter in glory. We'd love to see him when we go see them, but I'll see him. But you know, the promise is I have abundant life now. I don't need drugs. I tried them. Some of you go, oh yeah. Listen, I went to Carolina. Those state people are bad. They'll take you and make you do anything. Yeah, I got into drugs. And drinking, I did some of that too. And that was the Duke and the UNC Charlotte people. They'll do that too. Now, don't leave those Wake Forest folks out. I won't tell you what they did to me. Amen? Did I get everybody? I tried all that. I tried it as a Christian. Some of you are going, huh? Yeah, I did as a young man. My mother died when I was a senior at Carolina. I was a child of God, and I just didn't know how to deal with the pain. And so I tried those things. And you know what I found out? It didn't do a thing for me. It didn't do a thing for me. And when I came to the end of my rope, that sometimes you'll come to the end of your rope, I found out that the supernatural life that's written about in the Bible was through the power of God, not through drinking or drugs or anything else, but through Christ. And because of Him, I can give you one of those yells again if you need it. The last benefit I have is eternal life.
Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Folks, I'm going to live forever. Not because of Botox. Not because of this or that, but because of the resurrected Lord, I have the promise of heaven. Now, I know what folks like to do, and listen, I love her. I like Oprah. Oprah's out there going, well, you know, everybody gets to go. I got news for you. Not everybody gets to go. Not everybody gets to go to heaven. Now, I know you think that's mean, but I want to just tell you this morning, I want to make sure you know how to get to heaven, because the Bible very clearly in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way to the Father. He said, I'm the way to God. There are not many highways to God. There's only one. There's only one way to get to Charlotte from here if you go out here and get on the main road. If you head toward Greensboro, you're going the wrong way. Amen? 85 goes that way. And that's the right way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. You want to hear that? No one comes to the Father unless Jesus invites them. I thank you today. I give you praise, and I'd like to dance in the house. Jesus invited me to be one of His. Many of you, the same way. He invited you. He's inviting you right now if you've never been invited. The second thing you need to know is the Bible says very clearly in Acts 4:12, there is no other name under heaven by which men can be saved. It won't be old Buddha sitting on the throne. It won't be Hare Krishna welcoming you home. We're going to see the sun, not Reverend Moon. Amen?
Amen?
It is only through Christ. You say, well, that's narrow-minded and bigoted. I didn't write it. I just believe it. I just practice it. You go, well, I think there's another way. Well, I tell you what. Take your chance. Take your chance. And if you end up there, then I'm wrong. And you're right. It's kind of like the young college student had a professor who kept talking about how stupid the Bible is and how stupid all this stuff about Christ is. He said, all right, Mr. Professor, let me ask you something. And I'll ask you this today. If you're right and I'm wrong, what have I lost? Nothing, because I didn't have anything to begin with. Right? But if I'm right and you're wrong, what have you lost? Jesus didn't say that I'm the way so He could be selfish and put down other religions. He just said, I'm the way. I'm the way to the Father. And I'll take anybody. I'll take you pretty. I'll take you ugly. I'll take you red, yellow, black, and white. I'll take you rich or poor. I'll take you. Because you see, ladies and gentlemen, at the foot of that cross and at the empty tomb, the ground is level. And Jesus is the way. I believe that, and because of that, folks, I'm looking forward to heaven. I am. I don't know if heaven can handle me. I know God can handle anything, but I'm looking forward to heaven. It's going to be glorious. Now, I want to tell you one last thing. There are no denominations in heaven. So if you think you're going to attend the Baptist church up there, and you're going to sing, no. It says that in heaven, all of God's people are around the throne. My mansion is near the throne. How do you do that? God can do anything. And we're all singing praises to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So, if you get there, don't do like the fellow that when he got to heaven, St. Peter told him, you need to join a church. He said, what? He said, oh yes. He said, you need to join a church. They went to the first one and they were singing John Wesley hymns. He said, this is the Methodist church. Good place. Went to the next one. Folks, they were running the aisles. They were on top of the pews. He said, this is the church of God. Went tiptoeing by the next one. There was the Presbyterian and the Christian and the Episcopalian and all these others. And the guy said, well, what about that one? He said, don't bother them. That's the Baptist. They the only ones think they up here. Amen? I picked on everybody else today. Folks, we have the supernatural blessing of confidence in God. We have the supernatural blessing of forgiveness. You may be here today and you won't forgive yourself. I want to tell you, there's nothing Jesus won't forgive you for. Nothing Jesus won't forgive you for except one thing. There is only one sin that the Lord will not forgive. It is called blasphemy. You want to know what blasphemy is? It is rejecting the call of Jesus upon your life. You see, the only thing Jesus doesn't forgive is when He stands there with those nail-scarred hands and says, "Come to me as you are." The only thing He won't forgive is for you going, "Nope." He won't forgive that. Anything else, He'll forgive. Anything else, He'll forgive. And He already has. Confidence in Him. No fear of death. Oh, like I said, when you hear of the fact that old Dana's gone, you just be happy. You're going to get a break, and glory has got to put up with me for eternity. Amen? Abundant life. You want life better now? Now, does abundant life mean that Christians have it easy? Any of you Christians that have had it real easy all the time, raise your hand. Didn't say it'd be easy. In fact, when you come to Christ, one of the things I think they ought to play, we ought to play it before we baptize folks, is, "I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden." No, it's not always easy. But the eternal rewards are fantastic. And that's what I hold on to. Now I want to ask you today, are you here to celebrate? Are you here to rush to the restaurant? Or are you here to receive Christ? If you've never asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, He'll do that. Say, "What I got to do?" You just got to ask Him, "Lord Jesus, I realize that I'm a sinner. And we're all sinners. And I want you to forgive me of my sin and come into my heart." And that's all you've got to do. And then you get all those supernatural ones. You get the confidence of God. You get forgiveness. You get abundant life. You get the promise of heaven. You get no fear. You get all it. Well, you mean I don't have to do anything to that? No. I don't have to give to the church? No. Only to the pastor's vacation fund. Amen? I'm just kidding on that part. That's all you got to do. Because that starts you out in a new relationship with Christ. And as you start that way, that's the way you start. In just a moment, we're going to pray, and then we're going to sing. Maybe you're looking for a church home. I think this is a pretty good place. Amen? Follow these people. Got a great minister of music, got a great people, and they got a crazy pastor. Don't make me let out one of those yells again. I'll wake some more of you up. Amen? What is the Holy Spirit calling upon you today? When we go out of here today, we ought to be celebrating the fact. Now, if you're going to a restaurant, if you do it, I hope God strikes you dead. And this is your pastor saying that. I hope He does. If you go to the restaurant and complain because your chicken's cold or your beans are too hot, just remember what Jesus went through for you. If you go home and Mama burnt the biscuits, you better hush, because you will get fat. Amen? As we spend the rest of this day thinking about that He came up out of that tomb and the supernatural blessings we got, that is so much greater than anything that will happen. Any line at the cafeteria, anything, is the glory of the resurrection. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, come on, you bunch of wimps. I've done all the work today. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for the supernatural blessings that are made possible. Not because I sowed seed into somebody's ministry, but because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He said that He would give me confidence in Him, that He would forgive me, and He has. That I would have no fear of death or of man. That I would have the promise of abundant life, and I would have glory in heaven. God, I may never have riches here on earth, but I've got You, and that's greater than anything money could do. And I give You praise for it. Lord, if there's somebody here that has prayed that prayer and wants to make it public today, if there's somebody here that doesn't know about the resurrection in their heart, I pray they do it today. Lord, if there's somebody here looking for a church where we stand on the blood, on the cross, and on the resurrection of the risen Lord, and they're looking for a place where people believe in that, we still do here. God, You bring them, and we'll minister to them and let them minister to us. God, whatever it is, we now set aside this time just for You. Amen. As Ruth comes and leads us in our hymn, which one is it? 1:34. Stand up and sing, and then have a wonderful afternoon. We do not have services this evening. Enjoy your family, enjoy your friends, and enjoy the risen Lord.